been a crazy period for the women's game with a volatile, I think it's fair to say that, trade period that's finished this week, of course, with some of the big name, well, actually some of the biggest names in the game, trading places. And the middle of it all was one of the most admirable players that I've been fortunate to come to know through an involvement in, you know, and an interest in women's footy. She's been a premiership player for the Western Bulldogs, of course, and she's now traded places to the Melbourne Footy Club, and they are very lucky to have her. Her name is Libby Birch, and she's been good enough to join us on the show. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in for a chat. But hasn't it been, from your perspective, you've been in the middle of it to a degree, so you've had your own, you know, issues to kind of deal with in terms of saying goodbye to those teammates and saying hello to the new ones. Have you been able to watch what else has been taking place around you through these last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I guess you're in a really difficult position when you're moving clubs, because especially during that trade period, because you are basically in between two homes. And as you said, you're saying goodbye but also saying hello, but you're not really quite there yet until you get that official tick to the next club. So I guess you've got to kind of sit on your hands and let your management team and your new club try and get you across. And without my great management team, without the way that Melbourne have done it for me, I couldn't have been in a better place. So that was really great. But for me, I sort of just took some time to, I guess, look at things around in that trade period. And obviously there was some big movements.
Oh, there was some huge movements.
Especially yep. to expansion clubs and things like that. But I guess I sort of focused on what I needed to do to come across to Melbourne.
So why did you, in your case in particular, why did you want to make the move? What were the key things that you were thinking about in arriving at the decision that you arrived at?
Yeah, I guess at the end of the season, I did a bit of a review process personally on what I wanted to achieve or where I wanted to go into 2020. And for me, it was one of the hardest decisions I've ever had to make. And I guess it came down to wanting to turn a new page in my career. I've had 3 amazing years at the Western Bulldogs.
Unbelievable years. Like incredible.
Incredible premiership win.
Yep.
And I guess one of the hardest things to decide to leave was all the work and the special work that the Western Bulldogs do it with their community foundations and the kids and the relationships you make with people that are long-lasting. And that's one of the things that was the hardest to move away from.
So what drew you to what are the kind of final things that sort of settle in front of you that make you go, okay, as much as I love this place and all those things you've talked about, I'm deciding I'm get, because I think there's a lot of people who are looking at the AFLW. They barrack for the Western Bulldogs, or they barrack for Collingwood, or they barrack for Brisbane, or they barrack for Carlton, and they see these players that they've fallen in love with in a short period of time up and leave, and they go, well, hang on, that's kind of not. I want some loyalty. The word loyalty gets thrown around all over the place, and they can't quite understand the nuances of the women's game and how. Where the loyalties of the individuals in the middle of the game actually kind of ultimately lie?
Yeah, definitely. Like for me personally, I'm a person that is so passionate about being involved in a great team environment. And from the minute I stepped into Melbourne's doors, that was something that just drew me there. And it's just so infectious, and I wanted to be a part of it. And another thing, I've played with Lauderdale girls in the community league at Darabin, VFLW, and I've won a couple of premierships with a couple of those players. So that was another drawing factor, because I've got lasting friendships there.
There's a pretty significant one in there, isn't there? I mean, Daisy Pierce is part of our family here at SEN.
Absolutely.
And I mean, without probably, is it not putting too fine a point on it, but without Daisy's interference in your life, there's a chance that you may never have played footy.
Oh, absolutely. It was 3 years ago, June 2016. I hadn't touched a football before. I was a netballer through and through. And it was Daisy that texted me out of the blue, didn't even know if you couldn't believe it, didn't even know who Daisy Pierce was at that point.
You had
no idea. Right. And she offered me to go down to a talents search at that point before AFLW had even begun the first season. And I actually turned her down the first time, if you can believe that. And then I think it was a couple of months after that, I missed out on a national selection for netball.
Yep.
And that was my second year that I'd missed out.
And that was a pretty crushing blow for me, wasn't it?
It was a huge blow. So I called her back up and I couldn't even believe she answered because I blew her off the first time. She that night she took me down to Darabin Football Club and I had my first taste ever of women's footy, and it was by far the best moment in my life because I felt so embraced and just I could be myself and everyone was there willing to help me to try and learn their game. And it was just the most inspiring moment for me, and I'll never forget it.
That's phenomenal. I mean, to hear somebody who was a high-level, state league, highly regarded, almost on the cusp of national selection netballer, involved in those high-level programs and really strong connections, I imagine, with those netball teams that you played with. For you to say that you go down to a footy club, and I've had a little bit to do with the Phelps, and they are it's an amazing club. Yeah. Now kids play footy down, you know, that our kids play down. It's an incredible club.
Yeah.
What was it about that environment that had such a profound early impact on you?
Well, I think for me, there's something special about community football, and I mean like going down to the ground. The ground's not in perfect nick.
Yeah.
It's muddy, it might be raining, the conditions aren't perfect. But hey, everyone's there because of one sole reason, and that's to be with each other and to play footy because they absolutely love it. And there's something to be said for that, and that's something that I've carried through my footy throughout the Western Bulldogs and will continue to go through Melbourne, is that, you know, it's not always about the facilities that you have, it's about, you know, the culture that you develop and why you're doing it.
Keep going.
No, and just the heart that you have for the game.
Do you feel, so there's a whole lot of stuff there that I'll get back to. Do you feel I don't know whether somebody who's, you know, at your stage of your life and in your stage of your footy career thinks about this, but do you feel like across the board within the AFLW in the league that the girls have a commitment to and a loyalty to women's football as much as they do to the AFLW clubs that they're representing, that you understand that at this stage, going into season four, you're all kind of pioneers of something here. And while those of us who have followed the men's game forever have these entrenched views about, well, you're pulling that, you stay at our club.
Yeah.
You know,
not
the one club players are a thing of the past almost in the AFL anyway. But do you have an actual sense for the loyalty and the commitment and the responsibility you guys have for growing this league?
Yeah, I think loyalty for the women's game is a little bit different, as you said. I think there's a different definition. I think it's loyalty for, the being a pioneer and loyalty to the responsibility that you have to grow the game and to grow, like your kids, Andy, to inspire them to want to play the game, but to bring, you know, everyone in, including the little boys, and to show them that anything is possible. So I think there's a different definition. And I know there was one comment that I received, you know, on social media that, you know, the loyalty question had been popped up. But the truth is, you know, we are all loyal to the game, to AFL Women's, and, you know, we do have to make choices. It's just like changing jobs. And we do it for a lot of different reasons. And look, to be honest, I'm the most happiest person in the world right now.
The brief period of time I've known you've always been an incredibly sort of positive and glass half full type. Just on that social media thing, and this is no disrespect to netball, right? But if you'd have said, well, I'm leaving Victoria and I'm going to go and play for New South Wales in, you know, state league netball, you know, and I'm going to take myself to another state and play, that may not have raised an eyebrow in netball circles. A couple of people close to you would have known it, but the reality of the AFL, we put the W on the end of it now, you guys are part of something that is so much bigger. And are you aware of that? The now that you see people responding to you on social media and you get these really strong emotional reactions to a decision like the one that you've made in the last couple of weeks, what sort of sense for the size of this thing do you get when you start to see those kind of reactions?
Yeah, I think the reactions are fantastic. Like when they're positive and when they're controlled.
Yep.
Because that just shows the meaning that the fans and the passion that the fans have for the game. But I think it's just the whole scale of it has shown to have grown over the last three seasons of AFLW, and it's going to continue to grow. But I think it's really great when we see, you know, so many fans come to games, and just the emotion that they now have in, and the investment in players, and that they have our cards now.
Yeah.
You know, the kids have our cards and they know us back to front. I think that that's just so special, and it's going to continue to grow. But I think there needs to be more of that, you know, there needs to be more of that individual investment for, you know, everyone to see and invest in different stories that everyone has, because there are so many great stories.
And they'll continue to get told, and we'll get to know more and more about them as time goes on. What did you think of the standard of football that was played from season two to season three? You've had a chance probably to sit back and reflect a bit in the middle of all the stuff that's been going on with you. What did you think of the quality of footy that was produced this year?
I think it was pretty amazing. It was another step up. I think just the fluidity of the game and our ability to just pick the ball up cleanly. I thought there was a lot less congestion this year, and that was shown by Carlton and Adelaide and the way that they played their footy this year. But I think it's only going to continue to grow as girls continue to play more footy together. And as you said, you know, the teams are, we've got four new teams this year. Mm. Wow, how cool is that?
Yeah.
But we've got to, again, understand that, you know, these teams have to develop themselves, and that may take, you know, a couple of seasons, as it would in any other form of sport. But I think, wow, what a step up it was again this year. And just 55,000 at an AFLW grand final. Oh, my God. It was amazing just to watch. Like, it sucked to be on the sidelines in Carlton and Adelaide.
Yeah, yeah.
But we were just so happy, and that was that loyalty that, you know, you have for AFLW. You were just happy because.
So where were you on grand final day?
Oh, we were all watching it together. So.
And what were you saying as a group when you saw the crowd starting? Yeah. Forget about the footy that was played. I mean, Adelaide just too good. But when the magnitude of the thing started to become obvious, what were you guys saying to one another?
One word: wow.
There are probably a few other words as well. I reckon you can't say on radio. But.
Wow! Just like it was just I don't know. We felt almost as if we were playing because. Yeah. We just feel so connected as a community, and it was just so special to see the success of it, because that's all we want.
Yeah, exactly. And you've got that. Well, sorry, I shouldn't say you've had that at the Western Bulldogs. I think out of all the teams in the AFLW, and you know they've lost some high. They've lost you, who they love. They've lost Katie. They've lost Mon. They've lost some high quality players. You know, in this trade period. But the one thing you knew, if you turned up at the Western Witten Oval on any given day for a game in the AFLW, there were going to be 12,000 people turn
Absolutely.
Up. They turned up out there. It was a fantastic day. Wasn't it a great day out there? You know,
incredible. The match day experience that the Western Bulldogs run is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Libby Birch in the studio. We'll let you go in a moment. Can you explain to me and to people listening, the state leagues, well, they've been going for 9 weeks over in South Australia. The WAFLW starts for the first time this year. You've got five clubs going to play over there against one another, which is fantastic. The media support that the local media are giving the West Australian League is off the charts, by the way. Incredibly exciting for women's footy over there. The VFLW starts this weekend, first round spread over 2 weeks. Can you explain, you've talked about, you play your footy for the Darebin Falcons, you're playing your AFLW football for the Western Bulldogs, now you're going to be playing for Melbourne. Can you explain how you work your way through the balance of your state league team? In your case, it was the Falcons.
Yeah.
Melbourne's got a state league team. Just the difficulty that some of you girls face in terms of the loyalties that you got for your state league team, but what your AFLW team might want from you as well.
Yeah, it is really challenging, especially with just the amount of growth that we're seeing at the VFLW level, and how now our AFLW clubs now have VFL-aligned clubs, which has been different over the last couple of years. And, yeah, so I, you know, it's really challenging for the athlete who has, you know, their heart at a community club like Darebin Falcons.
Yep.
And then last year I had to move to Western Bulldogs to align with their AFL list, and this year I'm aligned obviously with Melbourne, which is fantastic for me because I need to learn and develop that game plan as quickly as I can. But for athlete, it is hard because you do want to, you've got a contract with your AFL club. You want to play with the players that you're playing with in the AFL W season and you want to be the best you can for your team, and you'll do anything to make sure that you're ticking that box. So it is really hard when you've got connections from a community level and your AFL side has a club. It's really challenging.
Incredibly so. Yeah. And there's a bit of me that if I was in charge, if I was a, and I'll never be, but if I was the footy ops manager at say Melbourne,
yeah,
and we got you, Libby Birch, to come and play for us, and you said, listen, I'm all in, and you've got me for the AFLW season, I will not miss a session, but I want to go and play with my mates at Darabin. I played 6 years with them. That's where I started. That's where my, can I go and play my VFL footy for Darabin? I'd have no trouble with that, but I can understand why, and this is happening in some cases, I know it is, that you know, you get drafted out of the VFL system here in Victoria to an AFLW club that's not you know, aligned to your VFLW team, and that AFLW site says, well, you're going to come and play for us now in the VFL season. It's a VFLW season. There's something in there that I hope clubs are sensitive to the connection that some of the players have got to their state league teams, because it's pretty strong, I reckon. It's a really strong connection that a lot of you girls have got to the teams that you played your state league footy at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think in my scenario, it's a little bit different because I need to make sure that
new club.
Melbourne's been amazing, and I cannot wait to start with Casey.
Yeah.
But, yeah, those happen a lot, those scenarios, Andy. And, I do hope that just as Melbourne has done, but, you know, they are sensitive to those community links that players have.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it is really important, and that's what AFLW is so good about it.
What are your plans, just before I let you go, what are your plans VFLW season-wise? Are you looking to play a full season?
Yeah.
You know, what are you looking to do?
Yeah, I'm really looking to establish those connections that I had with my previous teammates at Darabin, but also having those connections with the Melbourne players and developing that rapport with them and learning the game plan as quickly as I can so that I can be up and running for 2020 AFLW season 4.
It kicks off this weekend, by the way. Southern Saints are playing Collingwood at Victoria Park. So the VFLW season kicks off. They're into about round 10, I think, over in South Australia. And as I said before, in WA, their state league season kicks off as well. It's an amazing time. It's an exciting time. It's kind of head spinning, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
you're in the middle of something that is, it's not out of control because, you know, by and large, it's heading, you know, it's within the lines and, you know, but it's growing at such a rate. And and there is always a last question that's, but you go down and you see, you know, you go to the Falcons, or you go to Casey, or you go somewhere and you do a development session with the number of kids, the number of girls playing footy now. And I know we say this and some people go, oh, look at him, there he goes again, just pushing the barrow. But it's out of control, the number of girls that are coming down and playing footy.
There's nearly not enough grounds to...
There actually isn't.
No, there isn't. That is an actual problem. And it's an amazing problem to have, Andy, isn't it? Just to have so many girls wanting to play footy that there's not enough grounds to hold them. But it literally is. If you haven't been down to a Nabos keep session or you're walking past one day, just stand and have a look, because when you see the smiles on the kids' faces and you can see that they're actually loving their footy, you can understand that, wow, what a great game and what a great space this is to be a part of.
And you played your role in allowing that to be the reality for so many young girls out there nowadays, and may you continue to do it for some time to come. Congratulations on the move from the Doggies to the D's. Good luck for Casey in the VFL season, and come in and have a chat whenever you like. Thanks for being part of it today. Good on you. Libby Birch, Melbourne supporter, should be delighted to have her. Great to have you with us this Thursday afternoon. Libby Birch, our special guest in the studio. Jimmy Tupper's going to join us before we hand the reins over to KB and Turfy. Paul and Blackie, I'll get to your calls in a moment. This is the problem with buns. You've got... You wear the bun when you play, the top bun.
But it's not good for the headphones.
No good for headphones.
I'll learn for the next
one. No good for caps, no good for headphones.
No good.
No good for bike helmets. Terrible for bike helmets. How much were you drawn? You talked about that experience you had at the Darabin Falcons when Daisy got you down there. How drawn were you to the physical side of footy? The fact that netball's is a physical game, but there's
different.
More allowed in obviously Aussie rules. How much did that appeal to you?
I actually loved the opportunity of of putting my body on the line a little bit more, because I think I was just that naturally ferocious athlete.
Yes.
And just to get a bit of aggression out.
Yes, you are.
On the footy field. And it was sort of almost like sort of 10 years of netball that I couldn't, you know, launch myself at someone, that I was able to do that finally without the umpire calling contact or something like that. So I loved that part of it. And I think it's an awesome part of AFL, full stop.
Women are allowed to be strong and ferocious.
Exactly.
And aggressive, and it's a thing to be celebrated.
Exactly right.
Not to frown upon.
No.
Girls shouldn't be doing this. Absolutely, girls should be doing this.
Exactly.
Paul's in Mill Park, wants to have a chat to you. Libby Birch. G'day, Paul.
Yeah, g'day, guys. This is a great opportunity, so I hope you don't mind. I wanted to make a comment and ask two quick questions. First of all, Andy, I think it was a bit wrong to allude that the Western Bulldogs have been decimated the most. 16 of Brisbane's original grand finals have now played other teams.
Oh, no, they've been they didn't fare as badly in this trade period, Paul, as some people feared they might, but what's happened to them in the last 2 years, as you rightfully point out, has been extremely difficult. But so, yep, I take that point on board, absolutely.
Libby, just two quick ones. First one's a bit of a silly question, but with girls having long hair, I know you wouldn't mean to do this, but is pulling hair below the shoulders a free kick?
I don't think that's... Yeah, you can't...
That'd be high contact,
yeah, it's
wouldn't
just,
it?
Yeah, it's high contact. You can't pull hair at all.
Right.
No, full stop.
So given that it's below the shoulders, it would still be high contact?
I think... That I would assume so. I just think that there's a full stop rule that we don't do anything like that. Like, and that's probably why I wear a bun, so people can't pull my hair.
And now my more serious question. I'm just wondering if there's a feeling within the AFLW that with more teams coming in again, whether the quality of depth will be there, because you don't want to have the brand not getting better as it has the last couple of years.
Yeah, good question. I have absolutely no doubt in the talent that is coming through, and I think just the amount of talent that came through this year, and actually like Matty Prasparkas, for example, from Carlton, mm-hmm. absolutely shining light. The talent that is coming through and the amount of time that the AFL is putting into growing younger girls' footy from NAB AFL Auskick right up to where we're playing now, there is absolutely no doubt that I think the standard will remain where it is, if not grow even further. So I have no doubt in the talent that's coming through.
I agree with that. Thanks for your call, Paul. Blackie's in plenty, and I think wants to continue on that theme. Good afternoon to you, Black.
G'day, guys. How you going? Good. Yeah, I do. For example, I've got two girls that play, and my youngest is 14. Now, she's playing her sixth season of competitive competition at our local club. So the talent is definitely there. I've got the older daughter who's at the Colts level, like under 17, and some of the girls that played last year, no exaggeration, they could have been playing AFLW. So my question is, and I'm a Carlton supporter, so Bree Davey going. Now, a lot of people might say, oh, that's a loss for Carlton. But if you get four draft picks, and it'll be interesting to see what clubs do over the next few years, but those four draft picks, with the talent coming through, Carlton could actually get four girls that could be in their best 10 players. And if you don't think that'll happen, you guys mentioned Matty Prasparkas. She's almost Carlton's best player as an 18. So I wonder how many clubs are going to go down the track in the next 3 or 4 years as the talent really starts to come through and trading marquee players to get draft picks, because they're going to get 3 or 4 girls that probably going to be better than the marquee player they traded.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, again, as the talent that's coming through, and Matty Prasparkas, as you've said, an amazing shining star, I think... Yeah, that definitely comes into a consideration, doesn't it, Andy?
I agree, 100%. Yeah. I think that, and you make a really good point, Blackie, the names are going to be, unless you're a real student of under-18 TAC Cup women's footy, the names are going to just be names on a piece of paper. But we saw a couple of the Northern Knights girls come down in their academy squad, come down and train with Carlton on occasions this year, and they were ready to go. And some of them aren't even draftable this year. Some are still too young to be drafted for the two 2020 season or 2019 season, so season four, I'll say. Yeah. So their time is to come down the track. But the ones that are ready, they're footballers and they're ready to go. We're going to get the news headlines. Can you stick around for another 4 or 5 minutes? Can you do that for us?
Yeah.
Because there's more I want to chat to Libby Birch about after this.